Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this day is Matthew 25. Here again the portion that reads, "For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." You may be seated. I have good news for you. Whether you believe it or not, you have everything that you need for this life. In fact, you have everything you need to be a missionary in the world as well. It doesn't matter how old you are, or if you can drive. By the waters of baptism, God has made you his witness, so the witness of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He provides everything that you need. But the question for you this morning and for me is, what kind of God do you think he is? Now, no matter how old you are, I want you to imagine this. I want you to think of yourself all as teenagers. If you're young, think of yourself. If you're younger than that, think you're a teenager. And if you're older than that, think you're a teenager. And you have two siblings. They're close, all close in age to you. And your parents are going on a trip for a week. And your parents give one sibling $250 for groceries. Pretty generous, huh? Gives your other sibling $100 in case you need some household items. And to you, they give you $10 in case of an emergency. Now, what choices do you have in reacting? Now, you could go ahead and compare yourselves with your other siblings. Go ahead and stomp your feet and run to your room and say, "That's not fair." Or you could go ahead and take it and put it in your piggy bank and say, "Hey, you know what? There's going to be no emergencies. There's plenty of money there from my other siblings to take care of things for the week." Or you can have your eyes open for the third choice and look for the opportunities to put that $10 to use. What would you choose to do with that $10? You see, that's what this parable is all about. All three are given something. Each one is given a different amount according to their abilities. It's not much different in our own lives. Some people are given a whole lot, right? Others are given a little. Some are in between. Some people work hard and make their way, and they are in a big way. Some just seem to be, you know, so effortless, and it just falls right down into their lap. Yet others work so hard just to have a roof over their head and food on the table. Everyone is different. Everyone has different amounts. But you know what? That's not the point of the parable. The point is, trusting in the wise and generous master. The master doesn't have to go on a journey. He doesn't have to entrust his servants with anything, but he does. Now, we know what the master gives and what the servants did with what they got and the servant's attitude toward what he gave. We especially know what the one servant's attitude was toward his master. And so when the master went away, the two of them put to work what they had received immediately, and they were blessed with more. But why didn't the third one put his to use? We find out he's not happy with his master. "Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here is what is yours." Remember that God has given you everything that you need for this life. He's given each and every one of you something. He has given each and every one of us everything we need to be a missionary. He has given us everything we need to share the good news of Jesus. Everything we need to live that we have in this life is to testify to who God is and that He is a gracious and wise God. Yet I hear among us words like, I can't, I'm afraid. It is at this point that we need to examine our hearts. We need to be honest to see if God really hasn't given us what we need. Or do we believe that He is a hard and stingy God, extracting from us what doesn't belong to us or belong to Him? At our last church workers meeting last Tuesday, our circuit visitor, Pastor Leo Dietermeyer from Mayville, shared that our synod is expecting a 20-30% drop in membership because they will not return after the pandemic. That's 20-30 people out of 100, 200-300 out of 1,000, 400-600,000 people out of 2 million who belong to our church body. Think about that. That's like 200 St. Andrews, or I should say 400-600 St. Andrews just disappearing. These people are not ones who died. No, these are people who once worshipped, people who were declared their God at the baptismal font, people who stood before the altar like ours and declared that they would face death rather than to fall away from the faith. These people were the ones whom God had entrusted His treasure of the gospel with. And they leave the precious good news buried in the past because they cannot see how gracious God has been and is. We are being tested. The longer the pandemic goes on, the more we are tempted to put our faith on hold, the more we are tempted to bury our faith in the past. I'm not saying that you have to be in this building. What I'm saying that even though we aren't able always to meet together, we need to repent of thinking that God is a hard God to deal with. We need to repent of ever thinking that God has given us nothing. We need to repent of thinking that God hasn't given what we need. If you cannot see anything that God has given to you, I want you to focus on Jesus and who He is and what He has done. Right from the time we were conceived, we could have ended up like the third servant. Even what He had was taken away. He was thrown into the outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, without Jesus, that is our destiny. But the God of all grace and of all mercy rescued us in and through Jesus Christ. Martin Luther once penned, and we sang a couple of Sundays ago, "Take they our life, our goods, fame, child, our wife. These all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth." You see, with Jesus, you can't lose. In Jesus, we have eternal life, even if we lose our life. That is the most precious gift that God has given to us. And we are free to give it away to anyone we come in contact with. Oh, yes, there are other people that can do it better than we can. The ones that are preaching on TV or on the radio, on the internet, they have their own studios. Others have grand and great churches. But even if you can barely put food on the table for your one little child, God has entrusted you with this precious gift and that child to deliver that gift towards. This is the gospel of Jesus, the good news that is precious. You have eternal life in Jesus. You still win. With Jesus, you cannot lose. Now, Jesus had gone ahead and introduced the parables before this parable, that these were being about the sign of the coming of the end of the age. At the end of the age, what will be our attitude towards God, who is the giver of all things, and our attitude will be revealed at that time. Now is the time to take an account of what God has given and our attitude toward Him. If we feel that God has been stingy and hard with us, let us once again repent. And in that repentance, go ahead and make a list of all the things that you have, from the roof over your head, to the food on the table, to the clothes on your back, to the shoes on your feet. And then go to your Heavenly Father before the end comes and before it is too late, and offer thanks. James puts his attitude this way: "Count it joy, my brothers, that you meet trials of various kinds. For you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Let him ask with faith and not doubting." To ask in faith is to trust that God is good and what he gives is good, just as it was for Adam. Remember how Adam was in the garden, he was naming all the animals, and for Adam, no suitable helper was found. And later we read Adam's reaction to what he had given to Adam. It says in Genesis chapter 2, "And the rib that the Lord had taken from the man, he had made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.'" Yes, someone like me. We all know that the end is coming. Either the end of the world or for each one of us individually when we die. What are you going to do? Martin Luther said if he knew when the end was coming, he'd go plant a tree. In other words, do with what God has entrusted you with. God has placed us in this place to work and to care for our neighbor, just as he placed the man in the garden to work and to care for it. The Lord entrusted his word to Adam and he shared it with Eve. So also the Lord entrusts his word to us, and we entrust it to the next generation. May we hear when the Lord returns, "Well done, good and faithful servant. For faithful service with the smallest amount yields an eternal praise to our God and Father. For he has entrusted us with the most precious gift of all, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to sermons preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.